Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Hey, what a crossroads in New York sports. The Yankees preparing for game one of the American League wild card series at the stadium against the Red Sox tomorrow night. The Jets in a few hours trying to save their season down in Miami against the Dolphins. The New York Giants, the air is different at MetLife Stadium. They won their first game. Jackson Dart made his debut. All of a sudden, Brian Daboll's hot seat is not as hot. And then you've got the New York Mets, who completed the epic collapse by losing yesterday to the Miami Marlins, and David Stearns is kind of meeting the media today, meeting the fans, trying to explain what went wrong. If you missed any of it, you could rewind on the Odyssey app as he gave his answers of run prevention and pitching issues that need to be addressed. But one of the things Met fans really want to hear about is Pete Alonso. Pete's a free agent. Pete was very quick to say yesterday, "I'm opting out." And we all know Pete wants to get paid.
He was asked, just to be fair.
That's right.
And Pete is going to be honest with you as much as he can.
No doubt.
He almost inadvertently leaked the birth date of his baby.
That's
his child.
That's
he was
true.
Like, "It's it's going to happen. It could be a little complicated. Wait, what am I saying? Oh, damn it. He's going to be born in the playoffs."
He
didn't quite say that, but you could easily infer it.
Yeah, he's just very honest. And David Stearns, we have surmised, doesn't really want Pete Alonso back. That has been a summation, fair enough. It's been around there about David. So let's analyze his answer when David Stearns today at his big season was a debacle press conference. What does he say when asked about Pete Alonso?
And just what is your interest in bringing back Pete Alonso, and does that kind of complicate it a little bit?
Yeah, like I Pete is a great Met. He had a fantastic year. I said this last year and it worked out. Like, I'd love to have Pete back, and we'll see where the offseason goes.
You see him as a first baseman, or would he be a DH option for you?
Look, I think how the exact roster construction hypothetically fills out, like, we'll deal with that as we get into the offseason.
They want him back, and they want him to DH.
Yeah,
that's what I take out of that answer. And
it
was
sounds
some,
like,
no doubt. And there was reporting late last night in The Athletic in which, and I'll read it to you concerning this: if Alonso were to re-sign with the Mets, however, they'd likely need him to see more time at DH than he has in the past.
Okay, so what does that mean? So who are they targeting to be their mostly everyday first baseman then?
Complicated question. I don't know. I don't know if it's an internal option.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be Vientos.
No, and not if you're concerned about run prevention.
Exactly. So who would it be?
Probably somebody not on the roster, Teak. And I don't think, like,
meaning a free agent or farm system?
Somebody you acquire. Like, I think a guy who's a glove-first first baseman. You know, if Doug Minkiewicz can come out of retirement. I'm just joking.
Do you really want him?
But no, thank you. But the reporting in The Athletic also said that the Mets would like him back to DH more, not to DH all the time. The Mets' defense was bad. The need for better defense was actually felt on the right side of the infield.
Right. Now, do you think that Pete will be offended by that? Do you think that that will bother him? And because the only reason I would think that Pete wants to play every day, be a quality, maybe not elite, but a quality first baseman, is because it gets him paid more.
Yeah, so I don't think this is really a problem, because I think Pete wants to get paid. Go back to point A. Pete wants to get paid.
Right.
And I think that the secondary conversation is how many DH days does he have. I think he'd prefer to play first base every day. He's made that very clear throughout his major league career. But I think once the team kind of shows him that they appreciate him by giving him, you know, whatever that contract looks like, I don't think this is an issue. And I think the other thing that was reported in The Athletic is that the Mets aren't alone.
Right.
That other teams are going to view Pete in that way. So I'm not concerned about it, because I don't think this will be why Pete's not back. I think he wants to get paid. And we may be staring at a similar situation to last year, except more teams should be interested because Pete's got two things going for him now that he didn't have last year.
No qualifying offer.
No qualifying offer and just coming off a better year.
Right.
And those two things, you would think, are going to make him more appealing.
Evan, are you ready to say that I was right about something we argued about in the offseason?
About Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Pete Alonso?
Correct.
No, because I think to answer Tiki's question and to combat you, any first baseman that plays half the time over there is not going to be some superstar. It's just going to be a guy. In fact, you want a name? You want me to be specific?
Go ahead.
Bore the crap out of you? I was looking at defensive metrics the other day. A guy like Ty France is well regarded as a good defensive first baseman. Yeah. I'm not sure how much of the metrics I believe, but I think that's the kind of guy who would come in and play 40, 50 games at first base with
cheap.
Pete mostly DH.
And he'd be cheap.
Correct.
32 years old, 31 years old.
Yeah, I think that's what you're looking at, a player of that nature.
Could always bring back Dom Smith.
By the way, not crazy.
I know, I'm just saying.
Not crazy. But no, I think that your point is not related.
Was I half right that they didn't view Pete Alonso as the first baseman of the future, at least?
You know what, Tommy?
If you want to claim credit, I think we should.
But that's where I was going.
Here's what I'll say. He's having a tough day.
Yeah.
You lost a lot today.
Tough day.
No. He start dart.
That's true. He got the start dart thing.
You can't ignore the start dart.
Sure.
And he was ready for everybody that said he wouldn't be ready.
Congratulations, Tommy. You were correct about start dart.
Yes.
He was absolutely ready.
And because I also don't want to engage in an inane debate about a guy who's not available anymore, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., sure, fine. But I'll admit this about Pete, because I've had this argument, not necessarily with you, Tommy, but with Sal, because Sal's been, he's a DH.
Yeah.
And I think that's too extreme. I still don't think he's a full-time DH, but his defense in the last month wasn't good enough. Mm. I'm going to call it out.
Right.
Like, I love Pete, and I think he's been underrated defensively at times, but not in the last month. He wasn't good enough. So I understand why the Mets are at least saying, we'll bring you back. It can't be 160 games at first base. All right, we got a few more from David Stearns, and then we'll get to your calls.
Okay, we just did a little on Pete. We're going to do more on that in a second, but about Edwin Diaz and his future.
Yes.
I think most of the industry probably expects Edwin Diaz to opt out of his contract. Assuming that happens, just what is your appetite to bring or to allocate significant dollars to a reliever like that?
I think rather than speculating on what Edwin might do, I think we'll let him make that decision and then I can comment.
He's going to opt out. So we can move on from that. Edwin Diaz will opt out. And I think that the Mets, if they want, have a chance to renegotiate and get this thing done before free agency. I think Edwin Diaz absolutely wants to come back.
Yeah.
I think the Mets showed you how much they need him. He is not replaceable. I love Pete Alonso. Pete can be replaced. I love the guy. I don't mean that as any slight. Mm-hmm. We mentioned guys like Kyle Schwarber or signing Alex Bregman and improving your defense at third base. I'm not endorsing all that stuff. I'm just saying you can do that. If you lose Edwin Diaz, what are you doing? He's the best closer in baseball.
Yeah. And again, free agent year, had one of his best seasons, period.
On that note, Diaz and Alonso, we all know, are fan favorites. Does the fact that they're fan favorites play a role in really pushing to bring back both guys?
Steve said that ticket sales lag performance. So last year, after the tremendous performance, your sales went up. You mentioned in your opening you sensed the fan base's frustration. How much will that be a factor in two potential free agents being fan favorites in Pete and Edwin to maybe overlook budgetary constraints but to reassure the fan base that you guys are still on the same page?
Whenever we're talking about departing free agents or players who were with us who are then free agents, it's always the holistic package of what that player brings to an organization.
Speak English, bro.
What he means to the team on the field, what that player means to the community, what that player means to the fan base. That is always part of the decision-making process, and I imagine it will be again this offseason.
All right, so to me, that sounded like Pete Alonso and Edwin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Ideas, we want them back.
Yeah.
Because we need them back for our fan base to feel committed to still buying and going to games. Tickets and going to games.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what he basically just said.
I think, though, with Edwin, they have to keep Edwin Diaz. I mean, we could sit here and try. They have to keep Edwin Diaz. He is now becoming the best closer in Met history. Look what he did yesterday. We haven't even mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy came into the fifth inning of a game they were down by 4 runs, and what'd he do? He retired all 6 guys. And he probably could have come out and pitched another inning. So Edwin Diaz needs to come back. It would be such a blow to lose him. I don't know how you replace him. I love Pete Alonso, and I want him back. I think you could at least talk yourself into how you can go buy someone else and maybe be better. Now, that's not my preference. I want to bring Pete back, but I think there are other options along with losing Alonso where you could at least sell your fan base. You can't sell him after losing Diaz. He's too good.
Right.
And he's too valuable. And he's proven how the moment is never too big for him. But I'm telling you this right now. I said it about 20 minutes ago. I'll say it again. It doesn't even bother me, but I've been at this radio station for too long. I know the way people think. They're not liking the way he's just even speaking.
Well, from a holistic approach.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're going to...
Because he's not speaking in like the lowest common denominator. Just be real with us.
Just be real.
We don't need to think about what you're saying. We just want to understand what the plan is and what your intentions are.
My dad said it best. Like, he's just texting me about this, and he says... Just say defense. Why is it offensive to have to go run prevention? Just say defense. And then here, this is funny. Well, the in-stadium observers, fans, are greatly offended, pissed, at this group of athletes, players. But that, I think he represents a lot of people listening. Like, dude, just speak to us like we're a human.
Nerd alert!
I mean, that's it.
His final statement today was about Pete Alonso and specifically, hey, you got a jump start in talking to him last year. Would that help this year?
Oh, boy.
Considering you went through free agency discussions with Pete last year, just how did those conversations maybe help or affect going through it again a second time?
I don't think I can sit here and speculate what's going to happen with the Pete Alonso negotiation this time.
That is more about Boris than it is anything else.
Yeah.
Scott is going to try to ask for the moon. He has every right to. This is going to be a long free agency. He's taken his boy to free agency. He is going to say, highest bidder, let's go. And it's going to come down to A, the stomach of Steve Cohen, and then B, everyone else out there. Will there be a team that steps up to the plate and says, we're going to go pay for this guy? I'll tell you right now.
What team is that?
I'm scared of the Reds. And it has nothing to do with them beating the Mets in the playoffs. They got their pitchers under team control. Like, Hunter Green signed for, like, 5 more years.
Yeah.
Lodolo is signed. Like, all their stud pitchers are there. And they have a lot of young position players. Why not try to put yourself over the top? I'm afraid of the Reds.
Even if he's not necessarily a defensive star. Reds would still be interesting. Seattle's another one because Josh Naylor might leave.
Yep.
So, there's a few.
Yeah, the Yankees, Reds.
Yankees.
Do we think the Yankees are going after him?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, mostly because I think Cody Bellinger is going to be their priority. And assuming they keep him, I think that they're not going to go much beyond that, considering all the contracts that they've handed out. Plus, Ben Rice has been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're going to view Ben Rice more as their first baseman.
Right, you want to stack yourself. Because Austin Wells isn't going anywhere in the short term, because obviously he's under arbitration for the next 7 years, whatever it is. So you have your catcher situation kind of ideal, and if Ben Rice develops into a really good first baseman, of course you want to let him be your guy of the future.
And are we sure Aaron Judge isn't playing first base anytime soon?
I mean, maybe, but
I think it's on the table.
I still think you're in a fine spot because Ben Rice then DHs. Stanton's going to be off the books in 2 years or 3 years, whatever that kid is. So he can DH and play catcher. So
I think
you're fine.
I think the Red Sox are a team to watch out for.
Mm.
I'd say the Red Sox and the Reds are the two teams that just prematurely jump out at me. All right, well, thank you very much. That's David Stearns. I'll do more on this later tonight on a Rico Bronio where we'll go through every one of his answers. But if you missed any of it here, you can just rewind it on the Odyssey app. Let's get back to your calls, though. Giant fans, Met fans, Yankee fans getting all pumped up for game one tomorrow. And obviously the Jets play the Dolphins tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin and Manahawkin. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Kev.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call. Long-time listener. I almost never call. I was at the game yesterday. I'm a long-time suffering San Diego Charger fan. Don't correct me to L.A. because yeah. They'll never be the L.A. Chargers to me.
I feel you.
It's disgusting. That's just out of San Diego.
The fan base doesn't even support them out there, Kevin. They have
I know.
They have to go on silent count at home in L.A.
It's correct. It's crazy. Correct. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's a sin that they're there.
Right.
You know, with the Will Pons being out of sports and that idiot that owned the Commanders, the Spanos might be the worst ownership in all of sports right now. But anyway, real quick, I was at the game. The place was electric. The only thing I would say is I think people need to kind of calm it down a little bit with Dart. He was cool. He was fun. And I want him to be good. Don't get me wrong. But if you look at the stats across the board and take, like, the names out of it,
right,
you would think the Chargers won that game 31-14.
No, there's no doubt about it. They had big plays.
Correct.
They had a big, you know, whatever, the 60-something yard touchdown. They had the 54-yard run by Omarion Hampton, who I love, by the way. That kid is thick and tough.
But you know what the Giants did? They forced two turnovers.
That was the difference.
That's a huge difference.
And they won the game because the Chargers did something they don't do. They Justin Herbert threw interceptions. I think he had come into that game three straight with 300 yards and no interceptions?
Yeah, he also had like a streak of not throwing interceptions on the road that got snapped in this game.
Look, these were circumstances. This wasn't him making a terrible throw or terrible. Dexter Lawrence made a play.
That was a play.
He just knocked it down and then intercepted, or knocked it up and then intercepted.
What's crazy is that it felt like Dexter over the first 3 weeks was kind of blah.
Yeah.
And he made his impact felt.
When he came impactful, he was really impactful. And then the other one to Drew Phillips. They were trying to run a pick play, and it just got all screwed up. Ladd McConkey tripped over Tyler Conklin and fell down.
Yeah.
And Drew Phillips was just like, all right, thank you.
That's how you win football games, though.
100%.
Like, don't apologize for it. Right. Win the turnover battle 2-0. There's a good chance you're going
to
win.
His point, though, Jackson Dart, it wasn't necessarily about the stats. It was about the attitude that he brought. It became the team's attitude.
It was the attitude, but here's the other thing. I remember back to Friday when we were previewing this game, and we said, I think Tommy asked the question. He said, would you rather have Dart put off massive numbers and lose or pedestrian numbers and win? And you and I immediately said, win. Like, what are we talking about?
It's all about winning.
And that's exactly what happened. Like, the numbers don't jump out at you, but what Jackson Dart did well is, A, he made winning plays.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few of them.
Yeah, some of them with his legs.
Some with his legs, even one with his arm. How about the third down that pretty much brought the clock down from what would have been about 2 minutes to go Charger football to 30 seconds?
Yeah, it basically ended the game.
Ended the game. So I think that 13 for 20 for 111 yards doesn't jump out at you, but he made the plays he was asked to make.
Right.
And really the defense did. They scored 11 points over those two turnovers.
Yeah, and that's the difference in the game. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't always count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Drew in Far Rockaway. What's up, Drew?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure, man.
What's up?
Oh, God. One, Evan, we got the same team. So I've been around long enough to see them all win.
That's I'm jealous.
Tiki.
What's up?
As a Mets fan, I kind of said that they wasn't going to make it in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked. But my thing is this. They don't have hitters. They got people that, you know, hit home runs, but they don't have line drive hitters. They don't have people like, I'm sorry, Iglesias. I know he had a hell of a last part of last year. And if they would have kept him, they could have kept him for defensive purposes also. That's why they came back a lot and won a lot of games. The defense was solid with him.
Yes. And in terms of run prevention, defense is a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he hit 225. How often was he going to play? Luis Angel Acuna didn't hit.
This year he hit.
This first. Year. I'm talking about this year.
Yeah, but
and
last
Acuna
year.
And Acuna filled his role. And by the way, when he came into games late, he was great defensively. Yeah. He didn't hit either. And the thing about strikeouts, because here's what we also do when a team fails. We try to look at the teams that are successful and say, okay, what's the key to success? Like, what is working? So, for example, it was tweeted out earlier, hey, the Brewers and the Blue Jays have the highest team batting average. That shows you batting average matters. Mm-hmm. And then you tell me about strikeouts. Oh, the Mets don't put the bat on the ball. Well, what have I told you? If you look overall at the National League, they were not a high strikeout team. Like, they were in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
They weren't anything.
But it wasn't
the Dodgers strikeouts. Struck out more. The Reds struck out more.
But it also wasn't the strikeouts. It was just how they were getting out.
Well, it was the and lack of hit, clutch inning.
And, yes. And not hitting with runners in scoring position and driving runs in when you needed to.
How do you explain
being
that?
Being clutch. I don't know, because individually you look at the seasons. And we've had this conversation multiple times over the last 2 months. You look at the individual seasons. Francisco Lindor had a pretty decent season. There were moments where he was invisible, but hitting 267 and almost 100 RBIs and 30 home runs and 30 stolen bases. It's a good season, right? Brandon Nimmo, career high in home runs with 25 and 90 RBIs. So it feels like, all right, he had a pretty good season. Pete Alonso, we know it. Juan Soto was a 40-40 year. Individually, they were amazing. But collectively, they didn't – there was no glue to hold it together to make it, you know, powerful. And that's what's frustrating, is that when guys are good and you still lose, and it's not all because of the pitching, part of it is, but you scored no runs in 162.
See, here's the thing. The starting pitching was obviously a monstrous issue. No one's denying that. Their defense the last few weeks of the year was a main issue. No one's denying that. But what we can't deny, and what I hope this team president doesn't deny, is they did not score enough runs.
Right.
That's overall. A fact. They overall. Did. No, they did.
100%.
They scored two less runs than last year, and they were a middle-of-the-pack offense in the National League. That needs to be better next year. And I do have a tough time figuring out the whys, because you did get big years out of Nimmo mm-hmm. and Lindor and Soto and Alonso, and we're talking about, well, Alonso may be gone at the name of run prevention. Mm-hmm. Like, that's concerning, because that needs to be better next year. Unless you're going to tell me, and I'm sure people will say this, you know what? It's bad luck. They had a bad luck year hitting with runners in scoring position. That'll be better next year. They're going to score more runs by accident. We waited all year for it to change. And even though they had moments where they scored runs, in the biggest games of the year, what'd they do? They scored 7 runs in 3 games in Miami.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's not good enough.
It didn't happen. More of your calls coming up. Plus, we check in on our original Jackson Dart stat predictions. 888-808-1019. A little bit more than 24 hours, the New York Yankees are going to host a playoff game in their own building for the first time since that infamous Game 5 of the World Series, and they're taking on the Red Sox. For the first time in 7 years, Yankees-Red Sox at Yankee Stadium. For the first time in 4 years, Yankees-Red Sox in the playoffs in general. And we are going to give you a chance in the 5 o'clock hour to be in the building. So stay tuned. 5 o'clock hour, we'll give you more details on what you should be listening for, and you'll have a chance to see the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox game 1 of the wild card series. It features an incredible starting pitching matchup. There are very few aces in this sport,
mm-hmm.
and I think Garrett Crochet and Max Fried qualify, and they are hooking up tomorrow night at Yankee Stadium. So your chance to win tickets coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, we did this on Friday. Let's pay it off. We all made Jackson Dart stat predictions. Let's find out how we did. Who should we start off with, Sean?
Evan, how about you?
Me! All right, I'm going to go with 9 for 22 for 95 yards, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 7 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown.
Wow.
So he's going to make a couple of big plays with his legs, but his overall passing numbers are going to be abysmal. I mean, I'm not that far off. Mm. He went 13 for 20. I said 9 for 22.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up throwing for 111. I said 95. The big mistake I made was the 2 interceptions.
Yeah, me too.
Huge mistake.
I did the same.
But on rushing yards, he went 10 for 54 with a touchdown. I said 7 for 85 for a touchdown. So in the early going, I think I'm the leader in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good for you. All right, let's go to Tommy Lugauer next.
Okay, as far as the passing, I'm going to say Jackson Dart will go 18 for 27 for 180, 1 TD, 1 interception, as far as his rushing yards, let's say 6 attempts, 30 yards, and he will sneak one in for a touchdown. So 2 touchdowns, a pick, and around 220 total yards.
Right on the touchdowns. He ended up with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown, and closer on the passing yards. Not as close as me, but at least he's in the ones. So I'd still say I'm ahead here, but not a bad guess by Tommy Lugauer.
Okay, I guess we'll go me next. Jackson Dart, Sunday, will go 22 of 29 for 239 yards, 1 touchdown pass, 1 interception. He will carry the ball 5 times for 42 yards and run it in the end zone himself once.
Pretty close on the rushing yards. He went for 54. You said 42. Got a touchdown. Right on the touchdown pass. Way off on the passing yards.
Yeah, I didn't know Neighbors was going to get hurt. Otherwise,
and let's hear Tiki Barber's prediction. Let's hear Tiki.
I think he's going to go 20 of 38.
38.
Mm. He's going to throw for 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
He's going to have 4 carries for 18 yards.
Oh, that's like nothing. How many passing yards are you going to have in this game?
I told you.
No, you didn't.
Didn't?
You said 20 for 38, and you skipped over it. Right to interceptions.
265 yards.
That's where you tripped up.
Yeah.
So would you admit?
I was wrong.
I think I won. I think that my 9 for 22 for 95 yards. I think I won.
See, I felt like he would be more aggressive throwing the ball down.
Yeah.
Well, and he wasn't. Because I thought they might have to be because they were behind.
That is true. They were playing from ahead, which was very different.
The whole game.
They were playing from ahead the entire game. And even though Sean's trying to make excuses, he's not wrong. Mm-hmm. I think when Malik Nabers is off the field,
100%.
You have no one you're throwing the ball to that you trust.
Right.
So I definitely think that those two things you didn't see coming. A, the Giants playing from ahead, and B, Nabers going down definitely changed things.
I don't even know. Did they try a ball over 20 yards after he was hurt?
After he was hurt. Good question, because obviously that one down the sideline.
I don't think so. So here are his stats, pre-Neighbors or with Neighbors and post-Neighbors. With Neighbors, he was 5 for 8 for 60 yards. Post-Neighbors, 8 for 12 for only 51 yards.
Yeah, so they were all quick hits.
They were all quick hits.
Like a bunch of Darius Slayton sitting in the curl and zone.
And they were trusting Cam Scataboo. They were running the football a lot.
Or hitting the tight end.
Yeah, I think it was a 17-yard shot to Bellinger over the middle late.
Yes, yes.
I think that may have been the longest one.
Yeah. The longest play of the game for the Giants was 18 yards. So think about it. They were very efficient because they could be. They didn't have to be explosive because they were playing from the lead and their defense was playing fantastic.
Which was, and I would also say when you have a game plan that they basically admitted was simplified too, how much of that was about putting the ball in Malik Nabers' hands as many times as possible?
Of course.
And then to lose him and a rookie to justify. That's why I'm giving the stats very much a pass on that.
Well, no, you just don't want to give me a victory. Okay. I mean, I won.
Okay, take your victory and just shut up about it.
Go ahead. Yeah, you really were on top of the interception.
I also am the only one who picked him to lose, so I was really well off about this. All right, let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Jimmy in Connecticut. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? It's great to talk to you.
Likewise. What's up, dude?
Oh, man. I was hyped up over the weekend. I went to the Bronx on Friday night and saw a heck of a game. Judge hit that blast, and then two batters after that, Stanton showed him who's the big hitter on the team.
That's right.
And then Sunday I was at MetLife, my little guy. I could blame the PS5 and Madden. He's a Charger fan, so I bought him tickets for his birthday, and we had a great time. We had great seats, and got to see Jackson Dart score that touchdown right in front of us. So the stadium was hyped, man.
Nice.
I mean, it really was. Both stadiums were hyped. And I was really impressed with Dart. You know, he didn't make any stupid mistakes. He made a couple of, you know, rookie errors. You know what I mean? He didn't get rid of the ball, but I'd rather him hold on to it than give it up. So just wanted to spread my joy and stick my chest out a little bit and go Giants, go Yankees.
I like it.
Good for you. Right now, as a Giant weekend. Fan and a Yankee fan, you feel good about
it's a
yourself.
Good weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, the Yankees, I know that you wanted the American League East. You should because of what it entails, home field advantage throughout, obviously getting a first round bye, but they went out and won all their games.
Yeah.
And I know we could go back earlier in the season, kind of like you do with the Mets, except a very different tone, and say, well, if you win this game, you win that game. But the bottom line is they did everything they could. They closed the season incredibly strong. They didn't get the help that they needed. But you have to feel pretty good about the Yankees going into October.
Oh, yeah, of course you do. And you got a home game for the wild card. You have a home game for the divisional round. And if the Blue Jays falter, you have a home game in the championship if you get there. So it is what it is.
Let's go to John in Massbeth, who's been waiting for this day for a very, very long time.
Oh, John,
I know you want to troll the Met fan. The floor is yours.
Let's hear it.
You know what? In the words of Cody Rhodes, what do you want to talk about? I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Do you know what I want to talk about?
I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
How about those Indiana Fever in the WNBA playoffs?
Nice.
One game away from the finals
without Caitlin Clark.
Right.
Wow.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just don't know your thoughts about that. That's been on my mind all day long.
It's nice.
And I don't know nothing else that I've been thinking about.
It's nice to be in the playoffs, right, John?
There's one other thing that was on my mind, though, that is baseball related.
Yeah.
And it's a question for Positive Tommy, since she's a Mets and Giants fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you thought Saquon leaving the Giants and going to the Eagles and winning the Super Bowl was bad, how are you going to feel when Pete Alonso leaves the Mets and goes to the Yankees and win a World Series?
Mm.
I'll hang up and listen. By the way, watch Marty, Sieber Way, Wednesday. Let's go, Yankees.
Oh, shut up.
John does have a great idea. It's so trolling, but it's very funny. He said that he's going to go to Citi Field on Tuesday or Wednesday, I guess Wednesday, and flash the Yankee game on a screen so that he can bring October baseball to Queens. And it's, I have to admit, it's very funny. And if he actually decides to do that and take pictures,
and like
I commend
go, and like go in the parking lot and blow up a big screen.
Yeah.
Right.
And just blast
that
like the Yankee game on there.
That would be awesome.
And he can say, I brought October baseball to Queens the way Juan Soto couldn't have.
Mm.
Anyhow, his question was for you, Tommy. Would you like to answer it?
I would. First, I'd like to say that this is not the George Steinbrenner Yankees where they had to bring in Doc and Darryl just to kind of stick it to the Met fan. I don't think they run their organization this way. I don't think they will value Pete Alonso as their first baseman in the future. But this world that John created, I will answer, that would not be good. That would be bad. I speak for all Met fans. First of all, the Yankees are winning the World Series. Let's be fair. That stings. And then to see Pete Alonso celebrating it when he should have been a lifelong Met, horrible.
I think realistically, I don't think the Yankees are going to pursue Pete Alonso.
Right.
I think the team you should fear, that you hate, that could pursue Pete Alonso is Philadelphia. Because I think the Phillies are facing, I don't want to say a similar question, but in kind of ways it is similar.
Right.
With Kyle Schwarber being a free agent. Because here's Kyle Schwarber coming off an amazing season, but he's 33 years old and he's a DH. And I don't know what he's going to get paid. I don't know how many years he's going to get. Like, I think that's a really good question that I wrestle with what teams are going to offer. And while Pete's not a DH, there are some similarities in that teams don't view him as a run prevention beast, if you will.
True.
And so if the Phillies lost Kyle Schwarber to whomever, including the Mets, could they pivot, sign Alonso, move Bryce to right field, DH Pete part of the time? I could see that happening, especially knowing how aggressive their GM, Dave Dombrowski, can be.
Right, or just move Bryce to DH.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Though I'll tell you, the stats say Bryce is a better defensive first baseman than Pete.
That's true.
But my point is, I think they would be the threat. I don't think the Yankee thing is realistic.
And Pete signing with the Phillies would be worse than Saquon going to the Eagles, meaning Pete Alonso means more, at least in my opinion,
not even close,
both teams, to us as Met fans than Saquon ever did to us as Giants
look,
fans.
Saquon's a great player. Congratulations. He actually never fulfilled, not all his fault,
right,
but he never fulfilled the potential. Pete has. He's the all-time home run leader in the history of the franchise. He's a wonderful Met, even if he never plays here again. So I do think it's very different. I don't know where Pete's going to end up. I mentioned earlier, like, the Reds jump out at me as a threat. The Red Sox jump out at me. You mentioned the Mariners. I don't think necessarily the rivals are really realistic,
yeah,
if we're being honest about it. Conrad in Cherry Hill. What's up, Conrad?
Oh, great, great game yesterday. I want to make three quick points, if you allow me. Guys, yesterday I was there. Tiki, you came over in the morning time. And, you know, we were setting up with our tailgate. You took pictures with us.
Yeah, of course.
And the conversation was awesome. You were amazing. So I just wanted to say thank you for taking your time out.
I appreciate you being
you
there.
You know, dude, it was so awesome seeing you there. And the conversation was awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, brother.
The second point I would like to make, looking at Dart, love the kid. Love everything about the kid. Love his swagger. I love my quarterback, you know, that have that type of swagger. Yesterday when Malik Nabers got hurt, I was waiting for the energy to be, you know, come out of them,
right,
be sucked out of the stadium.
Right.
I did not notice that. And that was because of this kid and the way he was playing. I sat down, I was like, okay, all right, let's see what you got, kid.
Right.
You know, let's see if you're going to give us a shot to win the game. And he not only did that, he won the game. So
right. No, he made the plays when he had to. The other thing, you know,
absolutely,
Conrad, the other thing, and by the way, your tailgate was dope how it's set up. I'm going to stop by again one of these days, is Cam Scataboo. Cam Scataboo was just, he is a ball of energy.
Oh, no doubt.
Hits a two-point conversion, does a backflip. He did that before, obviously, when he scores a touchdown. But, I mean, when he did that, I was thinking of all of the pounding he's been taking. Like, at what point is he not going to be able to hit the backflip when he scores?
Well, I thought you were going to say,
just beat up.
At what point does he miss games? Because that would be my concern.
Yeah.
Like, he plays the game in such a physical way. And I mentioned this earlier about Jackson Dart, and you should be fired up about both of them, but you want them to be available. And the beating that both guys take make you wonder, are we watching them on the Sunday after Thanksgiving? That's a fair question.
I don't think you can ask Cam Scataboo to play any other way. Like, unfortunately. Right.
I'm not even saying he shouldn't, but is that not a worry?
Of course it's a worry, yeah. But...
It's why you need Tyrone Tracy back, because they're different backs, because Tyrone Tracy's not putting his head down and running through the nose tackle,
right,
to go get a third and one like Cam Scataboo did. But he can spell him, so he doesn't have to take 25 hits or however many hits he's going to get over the course of a day.
Right. It would certainly help.
Right. I mean, you can carry the ball 25 to 30 times if you're elusive and you're not taking direct contact every single play. He's taking direct contact every single play.
It feels unsustainable.
And in fact, on Jackson Dart's touchdown on the opening drive, it was QB lead draw. So Cam Scataboo, snap of the ball, is sprinting at the linebacker and just drills him. And Jackson Dart has an easy walk in for a touchdown. Like, so he carried the ball 25 times, caught, what, two passes, four passes, whatever it was, two or three passes. He probably had 10 other or 15 other contact points.
Right, right.
Just from smashing into people. So, I mean, I talked about Jackson Dart earlier in the show feeling it. Cam Scataboo is definitely feeling it today. No doubt about it.
Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Gabe?
What's up, Gabe?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking the call. Look, I heard a couple of Yankee fans calling in about the little brother, big brother stuff. So, as a fellow Yankees fan, I just want to say this clearly. Shut the hell up about the Mets. We are not playing the New York Mets in this round of the playoffs. We shouldn't be out there bragging about the fact that we qualified as a wild card team and the Mets didn't make the playoffs. We could be just out just as quickly as we got in. So at the end of the day, the Yankees fans, the Yankees as an organization need to be laser focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's how to beat Garrett Crochet and Brian Bello in the playoffs when we have barely been able to do so in the regular season. And so I'm thinking about what it's going to take to win these games. And at the end of the day, the Yankees are going to have to employ something that they are just so, so very bad at. And it's small ball. You know, at the end of the day, what has been key to their success has been the long ball over the course of the regular season. And that's just something that guys like Crochet and Bayo are not giving up. So you know a guy like Alex Cora knows how to pick apart the New York Yankees better than any other manager in baseball. And all he's telling these guys to do is keep the ball in the ballpark. You keep the ball in the ballpark, you can't lose. So the Yankees got to be able to battle that. Yesterday we saw like a flash of brilliance. I saw Judge, Bellinger, and Stanton back-to-back-to-back singles. That's the brand of baseball that the Yankees need to take to these first two games. Do whatever the hell you want against Toronto. They have a whole different pitching staff. But a short series against a team like Boston with two of the best pitchers in baseball, that is a scary, scary situation, especially when you got a guy like Alex Cora who's just laughing to death thinking about a potential matchup against the Yankees.
I think that, you know, you started your call talking about Yankee fans thinking about the Mets. I caught him slack. It's an off day. It's Monday. Tomorrow's game day. So I have no issue with Sean and Keith and any other Yankee fan talking, because Met fans did a lot of talking.
Right.
With that said, your fear in talking is that it'll come back and haunt you, right? Your fear in opening your mouth is that what happens if we get knocked out? Ooh, the Met fans are going to be mean. That's not my point. My point is about Alex Cora. Because Alex Cora had something to say when he talked about how much they love playing at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, God.
I wouldn't have said that. That's just me. I wouldn't have said that.
Hey,
because while the Red Sox,
yourself.
That's great. That's the regular season. And I have said this to you guys for months, and I'll say it again on the eve of Yankee playoff day. You could take the regular season, mm-hmm. and you can throw it away. Nothing matters. What matters is Tuesday, Wednesday, and maybe Thursday. And the Red Sox have already been given a big blow because Lucas Giolito, who has pitched well coming back off Tommy John surgery, has a sore elbow. And all of a sudden, I don't know who the Red Sox are pitching in Game 3. They may go with one of their rookies in a Game 3. Now, so will you,
right.
because you have Cam Schlittler.
Right.
But at least you feel confident about him.
Of course.
So I get why you don't want to talk. You don't want to talk because you don't want to get rubbed in. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have it go back to you. I have this funny feeling, very funny feeling. Do you remember 2018 when the Yankees played the Red Sox? Remember that series, best of five?
The bet, yes.
Do you remember Aaron Judge arrogantly walking out of Fenway Park with a jukebox on his neck playing New York, New York?
Boombox, but yes.
What's the difference?
A jukebox, you put like a quarter in, it plays at the diner. The boombox is the carrying one.
Good call, good call. The boombox. And I think we all had this feeling of, oh my God, that is not good. This will end badly. I think that if you guys are smart, you play up Alex Cora's, oh, we love playing here line. Ooh, it's fun here. Because now he has to have fun in October. Mm. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yankees are winning this series.
I want to get there and share the confidence with you, but if they do, whatever that old Christmas movie is where it says, you know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
Yep.
Every time a Red Sox loss happens, a Yankee fan is going to get their wings in this series. The Yankee fans will feel very emboldened, as down as they've been, if they get past this series and get to rub it in Alex Cora's face.
Oh, I understand. And it's not only that, and we'll spend more time on this tomorrow. The New York Yankees, ever since 2004, it's been reversed. You don't beat them. You don't. You didn't beat them in 18.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't beat them in 21. And even now, in the regular season, they owned you. So this is a chance to almost reverse the hex, if you will. And I'm just speaking as an IBO. I am not saying this as a fanboy or a troller, because I've said this to Sean all year, so I think you trust me on this. You will beat the Boston Red Sox. You are better than the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
And I feel confident that you will do it.
You're just saying that as a troll.
This guy's unbelievable.
Wild card troll.
Dude, I've said it. Sean.
It's all good. Your opinion.
Have I said this since?
You don't have to dwell on it.
Have I said this since July?
Just let it go.
You have, but to Tiki's point.
What?
You wanna be the, oh, I believed in you guy when they lose.
Because I do.
Okay.
Because I think they're better. I've also trashed the Red Sox since April, if we want to be fair. I never thought they'd make the playoffs. I was the first one to tell you. They'll find a way. I was right about one thing. I said there's going to be a random American League team that's going to sneak in. I was right about that. It was Cleveland.
Right.
I didn't think it would be at the expense of the Astros. I thought it would be at the expense of the Red Sox. So you know what, Teak? You can believe what you want to believe. Sean, you can believe what you want to believe. I know the truth. I think you're better than them, and I think you're going to beat them.
Okay.
And, Tiki, do you think, little rumor, Juan Soto thrown out the first pitch, game two?
With the tribute video?
Yeah.
The boot?
Why would he do that?
Well, he's a Yankee playoff legend. We usually bring those guys back to throw out the first pitches. Mm. He's available this week. We're going to use him for game two.
All right. I'm going to take it. I mean, what else can you do?
I mean, That would be kind of cool.
Big hand.
Right.
Well, I'll take more of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. Sean has a Cinco de Five-O list. And Tiki Barber is very good at interpreting what people mean when they say stuff. What Pete Alonso said yesterday and what it may mean about his future with the New York Mets. Mm-hmm. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.